Blog Talk Radio.
This new year, 2016, is an excuse or a reason or an inspiration, whatever word you want to use, to really become more aware and more conscious and make different decisions and make changes and make adjustments or just tweak what we've been doing habitually for a long time, and just tweak it and let's do something different this year. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you ready to do different, experience different things? And we're not putting any labels. This show, Reality Spirituality, this show is about experiencing more compassion, experiencing more contentment and more peace and more happiness in your own life. And in order to do that, there is one requirement. No, actually, okay, hold on a second. Let me see. How many requirements? Let's see. One, two, oh, three. Ooh, I just came up with three requirements. Three requirements that are going to make up your foundation for experiencing more happiness in your own life. And those three requirements are very easy to roll off the tongue, but they're challenging to actually implement. And the first element to really wanting more happiness, and listen, if I ask anybody who wants to be happier, everybody's going to say, oh, I do. But it really takes a commitment, a daily commitment. Have you ever tried to go on a diet, or have you ever tried to start meditating and in the beginning, oh, God, listen, I'm still not into meditating. I can talk to the universe while I'm on the bus or in the shower, but a sit down and close my eyes or stay in a peaceful place for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes a day, I just don't do it. I don't do it today. Who knows? Hey, that might be something for me to do in the future, but it really requires a commitment. A commitment means making that a priority. And while I haven't prioritized this meditating the traditional way, I have prioritized happiness. And with that said, commitment is the key. when you really want to experience a change, a shift, an internal shift in your life, there has to be a commitment to change. Number two, so commitment is number one. Number two, it really takes practice on a daily basis. If I wanted to start meditating, and apparently I'm not into it yet, you know, decades old and not into it yet. However, and I know that it does wonders for everyone else, and that's great. It's just not my thing at this time. It's just that the practicing. But what I do is I practice living, being aware, living consciously every single moment. There is not one thing that I do in my life that is not a conscious behavior. Unless I'm sitting down and I'm watching, you know, football, or I'm sitting down and I'm watching another rerun of Seinfeld or anything else, or some of my favorite things to watch on television. But other than that, I am always in a conscious state. I even know when I'm consciously getting a little irritated, I'm consciously. And so it's a practice. It's been a practice for decades for me to get to a state where everything I do is conscious. And so that is also another part of the foundation if you want to experience more peace and more happiness in your own life. Number three, and I really didn't intend to talk about this at the beginning of the show, but that's okay. You know how we just are free-flowing here on Reality Spirituality Radio. Number three requires patience. Patience is the key. I use this example about when a child is born, when a baby is born, you don't stand over the baby and start yelling, hey, why don't you hurry up and grow? Why don't you hurry up and grow those teeth? Why don't you hurry up and start walking? Hey, start talking. Why can't you get dressed? In other words, we are able to allow the natural maturation of a child into even from a baby to a toddler to a child to a teenager. We're never sitting up there, hurry up and grow up and become adult and move out of the house. Well, maybe that might happen in some families, but, you know, for the most part. And this patience is very, very, very challenging. The bottom line is you can't be impatient and happy at the same time. The energies just don't mix. The energies do not complement each other. Patience is the key. So once you make a commitment, and I'm not talking about making a commitment. You know, I've been on a couple of radio shows this month already, and a lot of people are talking about their goals for 2016 and what they want to achieve and what they want to have and what they want to do, which is all fine. But please don't mistake achieving those goals, achieving any external goal. I want to finish my book. I want to speak at more locations. I want to expand my social media. Don't think for one moment that any of those external goals are going to add to your happiness. Don't think for one moment that anything that you achieve is going to add to your happiness, because this happiness is a state of mind, a state of being, a state of living. It's a constant. It's a constant, and it comes from within. It never, ever, you're not at, listen, you've heard stories. I don't know why I say listen all the time, but I do. I've noticed that about myself. Listen. You've heard stories about people that have won the lottery and millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, they've actually done documentaries on it, and how the lottery has ruined their lives. Now, how could winning millions, $10 million, $50 million, $100 million. How the hell can that ruin a life? These things, money, achievements, are not designed to bring you more happiness, fame, power. They're not designed to do that. So number one for 2016, it's about being reprogrammed. It's about recognizing that this program of if this happens, I'm going to be happier. Or if I achieve this, I'm going to be happier. Please, I'm begging you, baby, please realize that there is no thing that is going to bring you more happiness and sustain your happiness. It's impossible. They're not created for that. It's not that function. Before I go on, I want to say that I recorded a show yesterday, Saturday, with guest Sid Cartwright, who's, you know, my spiritual soulmate on this journey, and it's there to listen to in the archive. I actually started it by having it a private because, you know, he doesn't listen. If this guy says he wants the conversation private, then I keep it private. But he agreed to keep it to make it public, so it is public for you to listen. And he is a wild, entertaining street type of spirituality cat. And there's so many great points that we made in that conversation. So I just want to welcome you to listen to that also. It was recorded January the 9th. Okay, so you can just go to the archive show. Okay, back to the topic at hand. So none of that is programmed. None of those things are programmed for happiness. I started a new session of classes. I have, it averages 10 to 11 weeks of the importance of the importance of happiness classes in my local community center. And I've been teaching the classes for a year now, and so January started a new session. So I met with my new students last Thursday, and I asked them a question about, you know, you always have to get to the root of a problem or an issue. I asked them the question of how many of you have issues or have challenges with other people in your life, whether it be family member, whether it be coworker, whether it be husband, wife, children, whoever it is. The banker, the cashier, it doesn't matter. The face doesn't matter. How many of you have issues or problems with somebody outside of your home or inside of your home? And this one lady, really nice, she raised her hand and she says, "My boss," she says, "I can't stand him." She says, "I can't stand him." She says, "I can't find anything good about him." And what I like to say when I'm talking to people one-on-one or in a group, or even to you, my dear audience, I look at her and I say, "Well, listen, put your seatbelt on this one. You got to put a seatbelt on because this might be bumpy and this might be a little bit hard to hear." But when you're saying, when you look at anybody else, and we all know this, come on, we've heard it 100 times. If you're listening to this show, you know you've heard this. Whatever you find and whatever you find bothering or troublesome in anybody else, you can better believe that you own that trait. You can better believe that you're really looking in the mirror and looking at and finding the same in you. So whatever you don't like in somebody else, trust me, you own it. That's part one. But when she said, and I told her that, when she said that she can't find anything good in her boss, there's another layer of truth under that. And the reality is, and I told her, I said, what you're really describing is you. You can't find anything good in you. if you can't find anything good in that quote, in that person that quote bugs you or bothers you, it's just an indication that you can't find anything good in that person, for in the mirror. And she looked at me with, well, I really don't know if I believe that, but okay. And she soaked it in and she soaked it in. And then she felt overwhelmed with emotion. And it's really time in this year, in 2016, don't you think it's time to be able to look in the mirror and find acceptance of self for wherever you are in your life, for whatever you're doing in your life, whatever you're not doing in your life, to find acceptance of it. Because once you, because you cannot love, in my opinion, without having total acceptance. Love is acceptance. Acceptance is love. So when you look out and you find fault with anybody else, all it means is you're finding fault with yourself. And it's time, my dear audience, it's time to let go of finding fault with that wonderful creation of a person that we like to call you. I want to say that you're welcome to call in. It's the number here is area code 646-564-9619. I have a few people in the queue, but, you know, some people just like to listen and they don't like to get on air, which is fine. Area code 646-564-9619. And today's topic is one that I just haven't really talked about on the show, but if my theme, my constant theme, is experiencing more happiness and experiencing more peace, this topic is eventually going to have to come up. This topic is an interesting topic, and I don't know if it's ever been discussed or talked about. You tell me. Okay, raise your hand. You're listening to the show. Raise your hand if you care about what anybody else thinks. Raise your hand if you are concerned or you care about what other people think about you. No, nobody's looking, so don't worry. Raise your hand if you care about what anybody else thinks about you, if you care about what people think. Raise your hand. Actually, raise, keep that hand in the air. Raise your other hand if you are ever embarrassed, if you ever get embarrassed over anything. I don't care what it is. Doesn't matter. Maybe you went the whole day and you had food in your teeth, or maybe, you know, at the end of the day you found there was a huge hole right in the middle of your in your clothes. Or who knows the reasons why people get embarrassed. So raise your hand if you care about what other people think, and raise your hand if you ever get embarrassed. Now, both of your hands are up. Great. This topic is for you. If one of your hands is up, great. This topic is for you. And if neither of your hands are up, great. This topic is still for you. How's that for covering everyone? Let's start at this getting embarrassed and caring about what other people think. Again, go back to when you were a baby, when you were a child, when you were a toddler. I'm telling you right now, you take a look. You observe any child that is 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Maybe 5 might be too late. Maybe they've been brainwashed by 5. You take a look at any child, and you can tell, you can see that they do not care what anybody thinks. You watch them in the airport, you watch them in the supermarket, you watch them in the park, you watch them anywhere. They do not care what anybody, how they look, what they're doing, what anybody thinks about them. This beginning to care and being programmed to think that you, and wanting to think that you, not wanting to think, and caring about what other people think is really something that you learned. And it has to be. If you want to experience more freedom in your life, if you want to experience more happiness, you have to begin to start eliminating caring about what anybody thinks about you. It's very important. I remember that, oh my goodness, and this is going to sound so crazy, but it's true. Years ago, I moved from a home to a townhome. And a townhome has different units. And so when you're writing your address out, you have to either write A or B or C, you know, the unit number or the unit letter. Audience, do you know that that bothered me to write down a unit number, like unit number 4 or unit number 5? Because now I'm not living in a home, I'm living in a unit. Now that's one example. Let me try to think of another example that used to really bother me. Oh, it used to bother me when I used to work at, this is really crazy, this is way back when, I used to work at UPS, you know, United Parcel Service. And I remember being embarrassed or being ashamed of where I worked. I mean, listen, UPS, we deliver packages. How prestigious is that? Zero. So you get into that quote-unquote prestige. You get into that quote-unquote trying to impress. Oh, my God, it used to kill me. Well, where do you work? Oh, UPS. What did you say? UPS. I really didn't hear what you said. Where do you work? UPS. I never said it with pride. I never said it with any kind of, yes, I work at United Parcel Service. Mm-hmm. You got something to say about that? No, it was always with some kind of shame attached. And so all of that was a programming, because what I did was I thought that where I worked was my identity. I thought that what I did was my identity. And I really wanted my identity. And let me say this. There are people that I've noticed, which is, listen, nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not judging. But there are people that I know that have a list of, quote, titles, M.A., B.A., C.A., M.S., B.S., Bachelor of Science, MG, HO, LMNOP at the back of their names. And there's a different energy between acknowledging that title and thinking that title is an identity. None of these titles, none of these things, none of these achievements are identities. But let's get back to the point. And the point is, I used to care about what people would think about me, their first impression. I remember my father, who really was ashamed that he never went to college. And he was a high school graduate, but he never went to college. And it really bothered him. And I remember he would actually talk about people that he would say they would flaunt their degrees in his face because they finished school and they went to college. And so it all of this falls under the topic of caring about what anybody else thinks about you. Wanting others to think highly of you based on your accomplishments. caring that other people think. Because let me tell you something, people. Let me tell you something, audience. People are going to hate. People are going to judge. People are going to put you into a category based on your title. They're going to do that anyway. But trying to impress or trying to elevate to a point, you know what, let me tell you something. Right now, if somebody asked me what I did, I could tell them, listen, I pick up garbage. I'm a street sweeper. I'm a sanitation. You know what? I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm a sanitation worker. Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be fun and funny? Yeah, I clean the streets from midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning. What? I mean, it's really not – I don't care. When I got to a point of really not caring about what anybody thinks about me and about what I do and who I am, it is a freedom that is second to none. This illusion that freedom comes from achievement and freedom comes from having money and freedom comes from fill in the blank is just that, an illusion. Freedom comes from within. Freedom is a state of mind. Freedom is something that cannot ever be taken away from you. Freedom is a knowing. Freedom is an internal knowing that you are connected, that you are part of the greatest creation that was ever created. You are the universe. You are all. So that's number one, caring about what other people think. Now, let me tell you something about this being embarrassed, because this is huge too. So I asked you to raise your hand if you are embarrassed and you care about what anybody thinks about you. I'm saying this because I used to be just like that. I remember I couldn't go out of the house. It's really funny. I couldn't go out of the house unless I was wearing makeup. Yes, that's true. I couldn't let anybody see me outside of the house unless I was wearing makeup. And it took me a long time. I was married for a few years. Even when I was married and I started living, of course, living with my husband. That sounds funny, but yeah, living with my husband. I didn't even want him to see me without makeup. Can you believe that? Not wanting anyone to see me, including my own husband, without makeup. Not wanting to go to the gym without makeup. Not wanting to go to the store without makeup. Then I got to a point where I really stopped caring about what anybody thought. And you know what I started doing? Not all the time, but when I maybe say I had a function in the evening and I washed my hair in the morning, and this is old fashioned. Now you're really getting some behind the scenes information. You know, in the olden days where you wash your hair and you roll your hair and then you sit under the dryer? Well, I have one of those really big dryers, one of those salon dryers in my garage. And I wash my hair in the morning and I put rollers in my hair. And sometimes I let my hair air dry. But sometimes, and when I let it air dry, that means I don't sit under the dryer. So that means I'm running and I'm doing errands out with rollers. People, I have been out and about in public. I know this sounds kind of funny, but I don't care what you think about me. With rollers in my hair. I was in the last 5 years, when I really got to a point with not caring because I needed to keep my hair in rollers and I didn't want to dry it under the blow dryer. I wanted to just air dry it, but I had to run all of these errands. I really went out with my hair in rollers. Now, I remember thinking when I saw women with rollers in their hair and thinking, I said to myself, excuse me, wow, that sure is tacky. That sure is classless. Wow, ooh, gee whiz, they really don't care about how they look. And let me say something. with all of those thoughts and with all of that in my head, there was an underlying sense of put my seatbelt on for this. There was an underlying sense of I sure do wish that I had that much freedom. I sure do wish that I could go out looking any kind of way and not care about what people think. I can say I can say that now in 2016, it is easy breezy for me to go out of the house looking any way I want to look, whether it's in a baseball cap, whether it's in with a roller, whether it's no makeup, whether it's in sweats, whether it's it doesn't. Now, let me say this. I'm not going to go out wearing clothes with holes in them, but not because of other people. It's because I don't like it. If I have an outfit and all of a sudden there's a hole in it, either it's donated or I sew it up, but that's just my thing. I don't like going out with holes. Oh, and I don't like going out with my clothes not clean. That's just me. But other than those two things, what else was I going to say? Oh, getting to a point where this freedom, which reminds me of another really interesting story, because everyone that's been listening to the show knows that I've been teaching fitness. I teach aerobics for, 35 years now. And I've been in countless of locker rooms. I've been in tons and tons of locker rooms. And in locker rooms, if you've ever been in a gym and you've ever been in a locker room, there are always those people that are so comfortable with their body that they don't care if they're walking around naked. And they don't care about putting a towel on or not having a towel. They could care less if they're in the shower and they walk from the shower to their locker without a towel. And this is the crazy thing. These people that are walking around naked with no clothes on, with maybe 100 pounds or 200 pounds or 150 pounds or 20 pounds, 5 pounds overweight. These people, excuse me, hold on a second, everyone. Hold on. I don't know why I put you on hold, because I could have taken a drink of water in live radio, but these people, excuse me, these people that are walking around with no clothes on and feeling okay about themselves and their bodies are not Miss America or Mr. America, but they're free. They are free. Maybe it's a culture. Maybe it's how they were raised. Maybe it's just that they don't give a good gahoot about anyone else or what they think. Maybe it's all of those things. But I have to admit that years ago, I would, in the back of my head, I would say, wow, I wish I was that free. I wish I could be that free that I don't care about what anybody thinks about how I look naked. Strangers, I'm talking about strangers. There is an amount of freedom there. Obviously, they don't have the embarrassment gene when they're in the locker room, and obviously it's nothing that they think about, but it is so freeing. And let me talk a little bit more about this being embarrassed. Let me talk more about it. This embarrassment is only felt when you are around people. It sounds like it's, of course, Rebecca, you know, state the obvious. But think about it. If anything happened to you, or you did anything, or you noticed, you know, crap coming out of your nose in the middle of the day and you walked around the whole house and you didn't see it earlier. Now you see it, 2 hours later, but nobody is around. The embarrassment gene is not even ignited. It's not even working. The embarrassment only comes when you're around other people. And when you're around other people, that is when that emotion of I care about what other people think. Now, I want you to, if you'd like to speak with me live, just press the number 1. The number here is area code 646-564-9619, and we can talk about whatever issue is going on in your life. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Just press the number 1. And I will get to you in the queue as soon as possible. So let's get back to this. I used to be embarrassed because I was raised thinking that I could never go out socially and by myself. I could never go out to a movie. I've never been to a movie. I never could go to a movie by myself. I would be embarrassed to sit by myself with nobody else. That would be embarrassing to me. I would care about what other people thought about me. Number 2, I used to be embarrassed by going to a restaurant. Oh, my goodness. Go to a restaurant and say, how many in your party? Oh, there's only me. Just a table for one, please. A table for one, that would really bother me. I could never do that. But now that I'm at the stage where I don't care what anybody else thinks, it's so easy for me to go out to a restaurant. I don't care if I'm at the Derby High End or I'm at Sioux Plantation, or I'm at, who knows? I can go to any freaking restaurant I want by myself and have a great meal. What I've noticed with that amount of freedom, with that sense of freedom, is I've noticed other people in the restaurant. I'm not the only one sitting by myself eating dinner or lunch or even breakfast by myself. And there is an amount of comfort that I got, that I really achieved and got. Talking about an achievement, how about being more comfortable in my own skin as an achievement? There is a comfort level that I achieved based on being able to go out and do whatever I wanted to and being comfortable, and not only being comfortable, but being okay with my own company. My own company is enough. My own company is enough for me. That's number 1. Number 2, going on a vacation. I have a few people in the queue, and I'm going to get to you, and let me get this one point out. Going on vacation, last year, I went to Iceland. Yeah, Iceland, the country, all by myself. I knew nobody in Iceland. There's nobody. I had no connections. I've always wanted to go to the country. No connections. I traveled to Iceland by myself. Now, when I arrived, there was a little tour group. It was about 30 people. But trust me, I was the only person on this tour, there were 31 people on this tour. No, actually, there was another person that was by himself, too. By myself. A couple of months ago, I traveled to up north to this really prestigious event, the Happiness Hall of Fame, held at Stanford University, by myself. It's really freeing. And part of that being embarrassed and caring about what other people think, oh, I'm here alone, oh, I'm single, oh, I'm whatever you want to think, being free of all of that is very empowering. And let me tell you something. When I go, and it's the only I usually rather prefer to go to places by myself now is because now I'm not, I don't want to say that, and I don't want to say babysitting somebody with me, but now I'm free to move and go and come and go, and, oh, you ready to go now? No. You ready? You want to sit over here? No, I'd rather sit closer. You want to do, no, I'm free to do whatever, and it's really important. I want you to really understand that this freedom of being okay with not caring what anybody thinks, whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, whether you are with someone or not, it's really important to be okay with wherever you are. I'm going to go to the queue because I have a few people that want to talk to me, and you know I could go on forever. Let me go to area code 347. You are live on Reality Spirituality. What's your first name? Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello?
How you doing? My name is Matt. How you doing?
Hi, Matt. What's up? Are you from back east?
I'm from New York.
I can hear it. I can hear it. My son's in New York. I can feel that that New York swag. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. What's your question?
I'm sorry to say, but I have to disagree with you. I've been dealing with people for a while. I'm 42 years old. I'm married with kids. And I have to say that, you know, one of the main things that keep people off of drugs and off the streets and off a lot of crap is from the fact that there's friends that are putting pressure on them, and this, you know, that they with society, that the pressure is avoiding them from being involved in all the garbage that's out there.
Let me say this. One of the things I love is having my audience call to disagree with me. I love that, so thank you. And let me say, I'm not saying that my opinion or what I'm talking about is blanket, but I totally get what you mean. And there are people, and what you just said is absolutely true. But what I'm really talking about is the individual who is not in a place that they need interaction or they need social. I'm talking about the individual who can be okay with being alone. Does that make any sense to you? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. You know, people could be independent and people could be, you know, a little more on the quieter side and lonely, which is not a problem at all. But a person always has to be part of a society and part of a group of people, friends and family or something. If he's not part of that, God forbid, people like this commit suicide, people like this fall into depression, end up on pills, end up doing the worst of the worst things. You know, pressure from people, from friends, from a group. I'm not saying, you know, people can snap from pressure as well. People go crazy from too much pressure. But the... always a person needs to some extent a little bit, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And a person always has to feel like, what the hell am I? You know, I agree to you, but, you know, a person shouldn't feel the
pressure,
urge to go out to, you know, to eat by himself or to do things by himself. Just, you know, go. Why shouldn't you? I agree with you on that point. There's no reason why you shouldn't. A person has to have enough self-confidence to go, you know, I am who I am and I'm hungry and I want to go out to eat. I don't give a damn if it's in a restaurant, and usually people don't do that, but I'm doing that. I'm hungry. And I agree with you.
Mm.
But in the end of the day, a person always needs to have pressure from his friends. I'm not talking about pressure to the extent where I would snap, but of course, a person who needs a little, you know, bang up every here and there.
Well, and see, we're really talking about the same thing, and I do agree with you. But I'm really not talking about that person that is alone and or on drugs and or feeling isolated from society. No, not at all. I'm talking about person that's really connected to themselves. Because this is a show that really talks about individuals. So give me something that, my dear, you are quote unquote challenged by, if anything, in this life. You know, or let me switch that. Let me not say challenge. Let me say what irritates you. How's that?
Oh,
Because if you're from New York and you're living in New York, there's a lot. I know my son. He's learned. He's irritated by everything around. You know, the subways being too loud, the people being too. You know, all of that. So what irritates you, my dear Mac?
You know, ask a New Yorker, you're understanding, right? People are the hardest thing to deal with. I gotta tell you. But you know, most people in the world are ignorant, are selfish, and do what they want to do, and they just move on. Which most times it comes on to other people, you know, especially driving. If you're in New York, driving, trying to find a spot, people get into fights, and there's road rage, and it's out of control when you move out of town. And people are tend to be nicer and softer and more caring about other people. And the reason is because they live much more spread apart and more of a country style. Even if it's not actually a country, it's more. But New York people aren't easy to deal with, and the only way to deal with it is, like you were saying, of course, the person has to have enough self-confidence, and you got to stick up for what's right, even if you're standing alone, and, you know, you just got to stay, you know, that's what you feel is right, you got to take it all the way. And that's how you have to deal with people, always. You have to, you know, give the benefit of the doubt. You don't know what the next person is going through, so.
And, right. Okay. So you still didn't give me what irritates you personally. Like, what, you know, in the last couple of days, what irritated you? I just want to know. I just want to get behind the scenes. What irritated you in the last couple of days? Because this show is really about happiness and how to experience more of it. So I just want to, you know, what irritated you in the last couple of days, Max? Please tell me. Please share with my audience of millions of people.
I hear the question. I have to think about it. I tell you, I've been having great days lately.
Oh!
I mean, I said,
oh, that's great. Great days. So you can't think of anything that ticked you off or angered you or irritated you in the last. Okay, let's go to the last week. Come on.
My parents have been down my back a little bit, but, you know, between me and you, if I pass out right now, they're the only ones that are going to be there for me. You know, I have a couple of people, but who's really going to, you know, sit and cry is my parents. Who's really going to bury me is my parents. Today, until the last day I'm alive, and, you know, although they're giving pressure on me and down my back, I owe them everything I have, and it's not easy for me. But, yeah, I got to, you know.
You know what? I love that whole thing about parents. You know, and let me say this. How old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay, you said that already. See, that's where my memory goes. And so you're saying, let me just throw this out. And so you're saying your parents are still trying to tell you what to do or on your back, and you're even at 42, you're saying that, right?
That's correct. You know, I thought as they get older, maybe they'll back off, but it's the opposite. As they get older,
You know, the interesting thing about parents, and the only reason why they don't know any better, number one, they don't know any better, and because I'm a parent, and one of the things that I had to learn is to stay out of my child's business. And quite frankly...
I don't really agree with that so much.
What?
Parents know much better than us. I mean, you're right, when it comes to technology and when it comes to things that are more in this century, that things that they weren't brought up with, then you're right. They don't know anything that we know, but I don't know if I agree so much with that. What you just said, that they don't know better.
No, I said I have to stay out of my son's business. That's what I said, and this is the reason. If my son ever needed me or had a question, because he's asked me questions, and of course I answer them, but for me just to volunteer to give him suggestions. Or to tell him, I mean, that's just me, and I know it's a different vibe, and there's a different family dynamic. I'm already feeling it because my mother likes to tell me what to do also. But I'm just saying it's a new generation where when you really this giving advice to children, to my son, without being asked is really, for me, not talking about you, Max. You're cool with it. If you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. But I know that my son is not cool with me telling him or suggesting or making suggestions without him asking for it. And so I'm going to respect that, and I'm not going to do that. Now, whenever he asks, I'm right there. But without asking, it doesn't agree with him. Let me say something about New Yorkers. I have to, because I've been to New York quite a few times, and even my son and I took a trip there when he was, I think he was either 9 or 10. And I remember we had to learn how to, listen, fight to get on the subway. Listen, you can't just walk on the subway. You actually have to get on and, you know, push your way on, make sure you have a spot, right?
Yes, you have to work out before you get on that train.
Exactly, exactly. And so that whole energy of this pushing and fighting and you know, vying for space, I get it. But let me tell you something, because what I heard is the same kind of thing I heard when I traveled abroad about people that live in Paris. Oh, they're snobs. Oh, they don't care. Oh, New Yorkers are mean. Oh, you New Yorkers are rude. Or New Yorkers are whatever you want to call it. It was never, oh, New Yorkers are great. Listen, all of that, in my opinion, is a bunch of crap. One-on-one, anytime I've been to New York and I've had a one-on-one conversation with any person, and I'm talking about strangers because I really don't know anybody there, strangers, everyone has helped me. Every
wow.
single person, exactly. Every single person has helped me with directions. Every single person has helped me with information. And it's because of the energy that I bring. You bring, not just you, you bring exactly what you bring to this to the table. If you come with this expectation or this judgment about New Yorkers are mean and nasty and rude, it's not true, people. At least in my experience, it's not. I've even had drivers. I've even had got on a bus, and the bus driver said, I'm not going to charge you for the fare, because I told him I was from out of town and I didn't know how to get to a certain area. He says, don't worry
wow.
about the fare.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah. see, go ahead. And what I want to just end it with this, and that's because of going in there with an expectation of you are going to, listen, everybody, you are going to get exactly what you think. What if you go with closed minds, you're going to get a closed mind. If you go with an open heart, you're going to find open hearts all over.
Wow.
Okay, go ahead, Max.
I 100% agree with you. And some I actually thought that New Yorkers, they'll do anything for anybody else until it cuts into their own, until it comes onto themselves. You know, once they have to stick their hand in their pocket, once they have to open the doors, then they're ready to stop. But until then, I don't mind giving you directions. I don't mind giving you, anything you want, this, that, tell you what it is. Once it has to come into their own territory, then back off. But
let me say this. I one of the things that I never do, I used to, but I never do it. I never make generalizations about people. Because it's not, number one, it's never right, and it's not fair, and it's very judgmental. And I can make sweeping judgments about New Yorkers. I can make sweeping judgments about black people, about Asian people, about people that live in the South, about people who live in Alaska. Who knows? All of these generalizations really comes from, and this is my opinion, comes from a laziness of not really going and dealing with people one-on-one. Of course, generalization's fine. When I say laziness, I mean it's easy to generalize. I don't like doing it. I know that there are individuals in every community, and each individual is an individual and unique person. So there are people in New York that give money, reach into their own pockets. Of course there are. So the generalization is not always true. So that's my point. What do you think, Mr. New Yorker?
I couldn't have agreed more.
You couldn't disagree more? I love you.
No, I couldn't have agreed more.
Oh, agreed more.
Correct. Yeah, that's just right on track.
Yeah.
You can never talk about a general like that's true. We talk about this, this cult of people are da 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 da, and you always find an individual that's not like that.
Yeah. And so that's another lesson for this show, and thank you for bringing that up. That's another lesson. Because when you generalize, you're actually really cheating yourself, and you're making an assumption about an entire population, which is never true. You're going to find, if you have an open heart, you're going to find open hearts. And even if you find a heart that's not open, guess what? If your heart is so open, you're gonna find your way creaking and cracking that heart open. You definitely will. But I'm not talking about the people that have issues with the what you brought up earlier in the conversation.
Right. I hear you.
Yeah, well, great. So you like the show, huh?
Yeah, very interesting. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me, really.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Please call anytime. And anytime you want to really discuss what's going on, what's really going on, and what's kind of bothering you underneath it all, please call me, because that's what I'm here for.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What a great conversation. Now, we have a few people in the queue, but not everybody wants to talk live on air, and I totally understand that. So reality spirituality, I can't believe we got to the last of the hour. Reality spirituality is heard every Sunday, and I welcome all of you to call in with your questions about your life, what's going on. But let me leave you with this. Whatever is happening in your life, I don't care what it looks like, I don't care what it feels like, I don't care what it is, whatever is happening in your life is supposed to be happening. Whatever is not happening is not happening. That's just simple, too. So I want to just share that. Know that everything is in order, everything is unfolding exactly the way it's supposed to. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. And if you like the show, and I know that you have, and I know that you do, go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. And until next week, my dear audience, I want to remind you that you are ever-changing. You're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be kind and be patient with yourself. Be your own best friend. You cannot have a happy ending without a happy journey. Reality Spirituality will be on next week live. Thank you for listening. Talk to you again next week.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality.